It's Sunday morning, November 21st.
Oh, Lord, we ask that your Spirit would flow amongst us today. That it would be your light that we would be in. Amen. That we would be manifestations of your light, manifestations of your love and truth. And that we would receive from your Holy Spirit, and that we would be able to express what we receive here, and that we would have ears to hear what we receive. Oh, do that good work by your Spirit, Lord. Do that good work. Amen.
Yes, amen.
We had a really good service before we turned the machine on. I just want to let people know that.
Sometimes in-person attendance can have its benefits, huh?
Yeah, right. It was just excellent, excellent service we had before the machine went on.
I think my Bible sits over there for some reason. The bigger one, yeah.
If you got to use them.
Thank you.
Start out with something, I guess. Nobody's saying anything.
Sure.
This week I've been praying, like I do all the time, but I used to be praying for specific things, like this person, this and that. But this week it's turned into just asking for miracles for everybody. Just a plain miracle. I do nothing specific or anything, but believing and trusting that God's going to do miracles. And that people are just going to, including me, are just going to have to wait on the Lord for that miracle.
Mm-hmm. He knows. He knows what and when.
And he says to ask, and so I am. Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. No, the Bible talks about the Holy Spirit as being an earnest of our inheritance. That's a little bit of heaven, even though we're not in heaven. You know? Mm-hmm. And, I could use a little more of a little bit of heaven, as we all could, you know?
Yes.
Yeah, being in the Spirit is the closest to heaven you're going to be on earth.
Yes, I bet. Uh-huh.
And that's why when we're in it, we like it so much. It feels so good, and things open up, and you feel closer to God. Because literally you are, at that moment, closer to God.
Yeah.
I feel that way when I'm out in nature sometimes too.
Mm-hmm.
And like the fact that God created this, and before Adam and Eve totally failed, I think they were just supposed to be here on earth before everything went wrong. So maybe this is what the original plan was before that got messed up. So I don't think there's anything wrong with enjoying the outdoors and loving it as God's creation, you know. A lot of people, like, are strict about the, like, don't enjoy fleshly things, which I agree with, but I don't think that nature is, like, the fleshly thing. I think of smoking cigarettes and, like, the watching profane things on TV are the fleshly things that should be abstained from, you know.
Well, God created things for our pleasure while we're here on earth, so why not enjoy them?
Right.
When you create them, then.
You're right, though. It is, I mean, it's His creation, we should appreciate it. And yet, it is a fallen creation with, it's not Eden. It's post, you know. It's not Eden. It's not the Garden of Eden.
I think, though, really, the thing that's most soiled is just humanity. Which is ironic because they, like, we talk about pollution and global warming and all that, but I think what's most polluted is humanity and people's minds, especially in this day and age.
Well, Marv's miracle could help that a lot. It's not gonna be a total fix, but you know that His Spirit sweeping through the land when everything is ugly and sick. You know, people are going to want something so much better, so much better. And they'll respond, even though it's, you know, not their ordinary way of doing business. I think they'll respond to that so much better. So, yeah, the world is sick. Yeah, the people in it are sick. But to have His Spirit, that wind coming down the valley, whatever, you know.
Over the mountains and through the woods?
Yeah, right.
Wherever it blows?
Right. Is there a particular thing, Keith, that you're doing a search for?
Well, in a way, yes.
Corky has this really good machine. Boy, it can do marvelous things.
It says in two different places, I'm not sure where it is, but in one place it says that Abraham believed God, and another place it says Abraham believed in God. And the point is, there's a lot of difference between believing in God and believing God. It doesn't seem like it, but there is.
James 2:23 might be.
What does it say?
Abraham believed God. Abraham believed God. James 2:23.
There's another place that says that he believed in God. And I got thinking about that. And the fact that I don't know that there's a point in my life, and I'm not even sure why, that I didn't believe in God.
Maybe Romans 4:17 believed in God.
It's a heck of a machine you got there, Corky.
Did Abraham believe in God?
That's what it's saying.
4:17?
Yes. No, that must not be, because the King James doesn't say that. It's close, but as it is written, I have made thee father of many nations, before him whom he believed, even God, who quickens the dead and called those things which be not as though they were. So I don't know, there's probably a different translation that
refers to Abraham in the verse before in King James.
Well, refer, yeah, right. But it doesn't say believe in God.
I think he was counted righteous because of his believing God.
Yeah.
And
chapter 4:3 it says, for what does the scripture say? Abraham believed God and was accounted to him for righteousness.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that's both of them, I think, are quoted in Isaiah 41.
First Peter 1:21 kind of brings it a little bit closer to home when it says, who by him do believe in God that raised him up from the dead and gave him glory, that your faith and hope might be in God. And what I like about that is we're not talking about Abraham, who was obviously a very special person, but in fact all of us have that same inheritance if we believe in God.
And I'm not sure. I thought it said somewhere that he believed in God, which he would have to believe God. He'd have to believe in God. But I'm trying to think of why my mother was. We went to church. Very, very, very few times. But my mother believed in God. And she taught us that. And, you know, it was always just trust God. You know, she had that kind of a personality. And so as a, you know, maybe just before I got married, or just after I got married, I'm not sure. We began to read the Bible, Joanne and I did, on a consistent basis. And then we got the Britton boys and so forth. As they were little, we'd read the Bible to them. And of course, we had the New American Standard, and which was good. But anyway, it had an impact on me, and so something about whatever we were doing, I don't know if it was something about what we were doing or just what God had in mind. But I had a thing in my head that I wanted to go out west. And Chuck's dad had been out to the with the National Guard had been out to Fort Lewis, and he was telling us about how nice it was, and so we wanted to go. And so that's what we did. And I didn't know that the Lord had it all set up. And had it all programmed. And so we, you know, the next thing we knew, we were seeing the power of God in a Lutheran church, and about maybe 50 or 60 people received the Holy Spirit, and the pastor was all for it, and his wife was all against it, and when people, she said, if you want to become a Pentecostal, go join a Pentecostal church. That was her approach to it. And not realizing that speaking in tongues is not Pentecostal. That's Christian. Huh. That's for, you know, it's for everybody, for you, for your children, for their children, and whosoever that God is to call. And so it wasn't just I didn't know it until it happened, but anyway, the thought that Abraham believed God and it was counted for him for righteousness, this came to me early one morning this last week, and with the revelation, a realization of what had happened in my life. We were instrumental, my wife and I, in the formation of the Community Chapel, the Community Chapel Bible College. As a matter of fact, I was the first one to ever meet Don Morant. I met him in an Assembly of God, and he was teaching the unfolding revelation of God. He was teaching the oneness in the Trinity Church. And just shortly after we got there, they realized what he was doing, and they asked him to leave. And I thought, a fantastic teacher. And so we started having Bible studies in our house. And then we had some in his house, and we had some in Scott Hartley's house, and we ended up down in Catherine Dean's basement. And he was getting ready to start a Bible college, and he wanted me to be teaching something in the Bible college. I went to the college to teach math in high school, and thankfully, I have the credits, but I never made the program. And while we're getting ready to, he's all excited about his college and what he's going to do, and we've talked a lot about what we're going to, the teaching and so forth, and he says, I had a dream. And we lived in Des Moines. That was just between Tacoma and Seattle. And anyway, while this is going on, I had a dream. And I really loved my mother. And in this dream, I saw my mother sitting against a kind of a rotten tree, and it was kind of swaying in the wind, and I couldn't see anything past her. I didn't know what was going on, but I had it stuck over close to where she was sitting, and here a big empty space and smoke, and I don't know what all was coming up out of the bottom, but it scared the heebie-jeebies out of me. And so I prayed, and I said, Lord, send somebody to witness to my mother. And I really prayed, and several weeks went by, and I had another dream. And in that dream, Joanne and I were standing side by side, right, or you know, in on the farm where I grew up, and so I knew where I was at. We were back here, and as we were standing there, there was fire all around us. Everywhere we looked, it was on fire. And as we're sitting there, a big angel appeared. And he said, "The Lord is coming. The Lord is coming." And I said, "Do we have time to tell our loved ones?" And he said, "You just have time." And so, just having time, I didn't know how much time that meant. That's 50 years ago. And anyway, as we're sitting there, people begin to gather out in the field. There's a field south of the house where we lived, and it kind of went up, you know, out in the middle of the field. It kind of went uphill, so you couldn't see the other side. And there were quite a few people gathered in the field. And as I'm sitting there looking at it, all of a sudden a cloud from the west side came in, and it covered all the people. And then I heard the sound of a trumpet. I still hear it. And the cloud was there, and I could kind of make out, you know, little heads, or, you know, spots where the heads were through the cloud. And the trumpet sounded, and the next thing we knew, the cloud lifted up, and everybody was gone. And so that is the thing that brought my wife, my family, back from Seattle. I loved it in Seattle. I probably wouldn't like it there anymore, but I used to love it. It was a nice place, friendly people, and but anyway. And anyway, we were comfortable. The kids liked it. We liked it. I had a lot of good friends. And now I have a dream, and I know what God wants. And I told Don Burnett, I got to go back to Wisconsin. And I told him about the dream. He said, "Oh, no. He said, you do better. You're more valuable in the Bible college." Hmm. And I said, "I got to go." And he kind of disagreed with me, but we left. And the reason I said all of this is because that was a hard thing to do. And, but you know what? I believed that God was sending me. We came back, and we have seen some phenomenal things as a result of it. Even some of the things where the Lord moved here, and we took it back out to Seattle, which was including Deliverance. And we were out there almost a month with Deliverance. But anyway, I have gone through a lot of chaos. I don't know what the right word is here, but because of the scripture that says, "Few there be that find it, or many are called, but few are chosen." And I'm thinking, I was called, but was I chosen? You know, just, I went through some real, whatever it is. And what happened as a result of that, you know, the experience a couple of weeks ago, I realized that I had obeyed God. That's what He wanted me to do. It was hard to do, but I had done it. Abraham believed God, and it was counted for him for righteousness. And I think that's what if we do what He wants us to do, I think He counts it for righteousness.
Amen.
know, that idea to believe God, what it means is believe the thing that God said to Abraham. And what he said to Abraham was, you're going to be the father of many nations, you know, your descendants will be as the sands of the sea, the stars of the sky, or whatever. And here he was an old man who had no children whatsoever. That was crazy to believe God for that. You know, that was crazy. But I think it was that that was counted to him as righteousness. That has to be the thing that's being referred to when it says Abraham believed God in the face of, the outward evidence is just totally contrary to that.
Don't we all have to do that almost every day? Like in a micro form, mm-hmm. you know? Mm-hmm. Just with all of our tribulations.
Yeah. I've been sitting here trying to figure out, well, what's the difference? Because that's the way I think. You know, and to me, believe God is when he's told you something. Believe in God is you having faith that he's going to do what he has said, but maybe not said to you.
But how can you separate the two? You can't.
I think you've got to talk to you.
Yeah, but
you've got to talk to you, you know it.
Yes, that's what I'm saying. If you believe in God, then you believe God. If you believe God, you believe in God. They're tied together. I can't see how you can separate it.
They're certainly tied together. On the other hand, you can believe in God. You know, there is a good God in heaven. You know, I just don't know. But it doesn't. There's nothing personal going on there. You know, if you believe him, you believe, yes, this thing, he's going to come through in this kind of way that he let me know he was going to come through. I think there might be a difference in that respect.
Well, that's the question I'm asking. I mean, I think they're very similar, but, you know, Keith heard a voice. If you want to find me, go where I am. He believed God. God mm-hmm. told him, if you want to find me.
Right.
That to me is a little different than if I have faith in God, I can move mountains. Now, God has said I can do that, but that requires faith. God didn't tell me directly. He put it in the scripture. Yeah, hey, you can move the mountains if you have enough faith. And I'm asking the question. I'm not saying I know. I'm asking the question. I'm trying to figure out, is there a difference, or if there is, exactly what it is. And this is where I'm at right this moment.
I think there's a difference when you're not reborn or born again in God. It's further apart at that time. Hmm. And then when you become a Christian and give your heart to the Lord, it comes closer together.
I think you're right.
You've acted on a belief,
yeah.
And then now you believed in God.
Things real.
Yeah.
So I think it depends on where you are in Christianity or not.
I agree with you.
I think that's good.
100%.
And Keith has been on the scriptures. I don't want to use the wrong word, but God has put the scripture on his heart. He's not letting them move from it, because many are called and few are chosen, and he's going. He's rightfully asking the question, well, I want to be one of the chosen. And then, you know, that is kind of the $60 million deal, right? Well, we all want to be chosen. We all want to be in heaven. And I'm so, you know, maybe the question that kind of keeps popping out of my head is, well, what do I need to be doing? And Charlie kind of shed a little bit of light on that. You know, I need to, what was the word you use? Faithfully or diligently be seeking him. And he will be rewarded. You know, and then I've been trying to put that in place with the, you want to do the things that you know God wants you to do, but you want to do those with a good heart. So, it's like, you can diligently do this, but if you're doing it because you're trying to punch a ticket, I don't think that gets very far.
No.
But if you do it because you just love God, I think that ends up going towards counted as righteousness. And so...
what's in your heart?
Yeah, where's your heart in this? So that, and if you follow that a little bit, that gets back to, you know, how much God's love do you have? I mean, where's your, you know, love for God?
Mm-hmm.
And
yep.
God's love and love for one another. And so it's exciting to me because I think these are all connected. I mean, these little bits of revelation that we're getting, you know, they kind of moving us down a path. Mm-hmm. And it's not that we don't know the path, but I think we're seeing the path a little bit more clearly. At least I'm getting a little bit more, some little tiny minute clarity.
You know, Keith, as you were kind of telling the story of your going out to Seattle and then coming back, you know, it occurred to me, the Pacific Northwest in the mid-60s was, the Spirit was doing something unusual then. You know, there was Dennis Bennett with that, whatever, charismatic renewal or whatever. And it must have been a lot. You know, there was the formation of Community Chapel and who knows what all else, too, going on there in the Pacific Northwest. It was like a fire in the Holy Spirit. And, you know, a fire in a good way. And I think, you know, fires throw sparks. And it could have been that dream to come back to Wisconsin was a matter of that spark getting thrown and to a different area. So we are somehow or other, the fire caught hold in, you know, the upper Midwest, Great Lakes region, whatever. And who knows what happens, but that thought came to me as you were telling the story. It was odd, you know, Chuck's father talked about how nice Fort Lewis is. It kind of got in your head and you decided you wanted to move out there. And you have a dream and you come back, you know.
And we got busy, my wife and I, and witnessed to a lot of relatives. I had town hall meetings. We had all kinds of things happen. And we went up to Minneapolis and St. Paul and talked to the Gordy and Janet Johnson and maybe the Wellborns, I can't remember. But, and a lot of them moved down here. My aunt, we had meetings in my uncle and his wife's house. And she had arthritis in her hands until she couldn't, you know, wash clothes or wash dishes or anything. And we prayed for her and God healed her. And I can remember the excitement over that. They were really excited. Her daughter was excited. But we saw a lot of things happen. And anyway, in the seventh chapter of Matthew, you know, the scriptures say something, but it's very seldom that the scriptures around it don't explain it. And in here is the explanation. It says, not everyone that says unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that does the will of my Father, which is in heaven. Does that matter?
Yeah.
He says, many will say to me in that day, Lord, have we not prophesied in your name? And in your name have cast out devils, and in your name done many wonderful works. And then will I profess unto them, I never knew you. Depart from me, you that work iniquity. In some places it says lawlessness. Therefore, and then here's the explanation. Whosoever hears these sayings of mine and does them, I will liken him unto a wise man which built his house upon a rock. And the rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew and beat upon that house, and it fell not, for it was founded upon a rock. Now look at verse 26. And everyone that hears these sayings of mine and doesn't do them. The difference is, one of them is, he does it, and the other one, he doesn't do it. He hears it, but he doesn't do it. He shall be likened unto a foolish man, which built his house upon the sand. And the rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew, and beat upon that house, and it fell. And great was the fall of it. That's actually the explanation of what he said. You know, so I have been listening to God's word for upwards of 20 years, and on a pretty consistent basis. And I'm not saying that I have everything I've heard I'm doing, but I'm saying that the listening to it and getting it into your system, what it says Second Peter, it says, by these exceedingly great and precious promises, we become partakers of his divine nature. What does that mean? It means by the intake of God's word, a consistent intake of the word, it changes our personality. It has to. We become whatever that is that we read.
Uh-huh. I believe that.
Yeah.
That's happening.
Yeah. It's happening to quite a few people that I know of.
You know, you were reading about we call them the Matthew 7 Christians these days. I don't know, if I had been in that position and I just, you know, I told them, Lord, Lord, I've done all these wonderful things. And then he said, depart from me, I never knew you. And then I heard that rest of the stuff, you know, about the house on the rock and the house on the sand. I'd say to the Lord, I'd say, hey, I did that stuff. Here, weren't you paying attention? I did all that stuff, you know? I'm not saying that to argue with the Lord, really. I am saying that to say, there is something about the doing the stuff that wasn't qualified, didn't get qualified by, you know, all these casting out demons and wonderful, you know. It didn't cut the mustard for him, you know. He nonetheless got told, but it was doing things that was the basis for why he was so surprised that the Lord wasn't opening up his arms and taking, you know, it was doing stuff. Apparently apparently it was not the right stuff.
Or the right reason.
Well,
right reasons.
But
right.
If you don't have the Spirit, I mean, you'd listen to Jesus give an excuse like, well, this guy did this, and you go, that's exactly what I did. And Jesus says, no, it isn't. But by what he said right there, you don't know what is and what is lacking. You don't, you know, I think that's where Charlie was going.
Yeah. Yeah.
What do you mean, house on a rock versus house on sand? What does it have to do with me doing these things? I did these things. And I did these things in your name.
Mm-hmm.
You commanded me to do. You know, only with a little bit of help from the Spirit, you go, yeah, but did you do it because you wanted to? Was your heart good? Oh, wait a minute. I need to do these things with a good heart. That has nothing to do with a rock and sand, I'll tell you that.
Yeah.
If you only look seeing in the natural, it totally goes over the head and you go, he's making no sense to me. I still believe I fit the bill. I still think I've done what I was supposed to do.
Yeah.
You know, still following your word.
Yeah, it's not exactly as though you hear the rest of what he says, build a house on the sand, build a house on the rock. You don't particularly say, oh, I get it now. That's what was going on with that Matthew 7 Christian. Okay.
This is what was wrong.
Here. Yeah, now it starts to make sense. No, that's not true. It just makes it a little harder is all it does.
The goal of the Lord was to confuse the wise.
Yeah, 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 yeah.
He did that.
Yeah.
That was one of those settings where you go, well, wait a minute. This seems to line up like we're doing this. This is what he commanded us to do. How could this be falling short?
Yeah.
And that kind of forces it to look hard.
Yeah, yeah. There's something more we need to know.
Yeah.
Which there's something more we need to know. And, you know, the Holy Scripture, our Holy Spirit will shine His light come that glorious day, and we will be as the one who built His house upon the rock.
Yeah. Yeah, we have a saying, Keith is fond of saying, and this is what God meant by what He said.
Yeah, right.
Which I love because, yeah, I don't know what He meant. He said it, but I don't know what it really means yet.
Right.
So it's perfect. Covers everything. Yeah. Did he mean that when he said that? Well, what do you think he meant? I'm not sure yet. There you go. You're right where you want to be. Waiting on God.
Right. Right.
It's kind of like when you're working. Are you doing it just to get it done? Or are you doing it because you want to please or enjoy it or whatever, you know?
Uh-huh.
Mm-hmm.
Are you doing it just because God said to do it? Or are you doing it because you love God and want to please Him?
Uh-huh. You know, the natural man comes up with these arguments. And the spiritual man says, well, I don't know, but what I do know is I love the Lord, and I know He will do it. He's right. I know that. I know that. And that has to be the bottom line somewhere. You know, I don't know about this. I don't know. I don't know. That's sort of puzzling, isn't it? But I do know we have a good God, and I love Him, and I trust Him. I trust Him. I trust Him.
Or to use today's vernacular, you believe in Him.
I believe in Him. That's right. Believe Him. Believe. Yep. Right.
It's good. I was thinking a little bit about, and Keith has shared the story more than once about being called out to Seattle and being called back to Seattle. But hindsight's always 2020. But I, in the natural, I find it interesting that Keith shared, I had this dream, we had to start the church, and here I had a church, and the response is, oh, that is from God, and let's go. Has a dream, says I should leave, and you're on your own, and oh, I don't know if that was from God. I am not so sure, and I'm going, oh, well, wait a minute, it was from God, and you were 100% on board, and because you kind of liked what that said, and then you hear it again, and it's, I don't know that I like what I said, I'm not sure that was from God. You know,
yeah.
And it's kind of a microcosm of, I'm supposed to do what? Sell
yeah.
all my earthly belongings? And I don't know that I, no, and I, it sometimes sounds harder, and that doesn't feel really good in the natural man way of thinking. So I'm not sure I'm going to accept that as from God.
I don't want it to be from God.
Right.
Yeah. 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 Wait, it doesn't feel right.
It's too hard.
Ooh.
He believed God when God told him to do this. By doing it, he believed in God.
In God.
Yes.
Yeah.
I think you're right, Jim.
Exactly.
I think you're right.
It's like a...
Sometimes it's hard to do what God wants.
Like I tell Keith all the time, God doesn't talk to me, so I'll just have to take his word for it when God talks to him. I don't have those, I had a dream and this is what was said.
Except for when you do.
Except for when I do, yeah. But I don't have them as frequently as others, let's put it that way. Because I'm so difficult in the natural. What's that one setting where the throw out a fleece three times? I'm probably the guy who would have said 10. 10 might be a good number. Yeah, let me come up with a different puzzle for you to solve, to prove to me. Yeah, you're really walking in faith. Yeah, you're really walking in faith there. No, not so much.
Kind of like Moses hitting the rock more than once.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. We talked about that the other day. I often felt that, maybe it's mentioned that maybe someone could help me. Like, did God command Moses to strike the rock just once?
Yeah.
And he did. And Moses, so he's told once, one time only, and he thinking, well, you know, well, we're really thirsty. If one is good, two is better.
I'm mad.
I don't know.
The text does not put much emphasis on once and only once.
Yeah.
It was hit the rock.
Yeah, that's kind of what
I think he was left up in the air, the frequency, and so while, you know, he hit the rock, that kind of means once, I guess. But it's hard to say, oh, Moses, you were told it, not to hit it. Only once he did it twice. Come on now.
Unfaithful, unbelieving servant.
Right.
You're not going to go to the promised land.
Yeah.
It slipped.
Talking about Moses, how many times did Moses doubt God to begin with? And but God dealt with him and got him there.
Well, there's, he did that.
Thank you.
It said, God told him to go say this to Pharaoh. He says, I can't talk. And he says God was angry.
Yeah.
Yet he didn't switch horses. I mean, he obviously could have. He was still going to.
He did make an accommodation by having Aaron be the speaker,
right.
But that's different than
he
didn't
kind
say.
Kind of acquiesced to his human weakness,
yeah.
But he didn't replace him.
No, he didn't.
And
that's right.
God could have raised up anybody. So there,
yep.
Even in that, it's kind of like, well, you know, other people were kind of given an option. They didn't quite hit it out of the park, and they were replaced.
Right.
And God wanted to bring them the relief, you know.
Yeah. Saul got replaced.
Yeah, Saul got replaced.
But God stuck with him.
That's kind of my point. It's like, Moses is really interesting. I mean, the people look at him and go, you know, we can't even look at your face. You know, put a veil up. We can't handle seeing God on you. You know.
Yeah. Yeah.
He must have felt confident enough with God to speak to him that way.
Yeah, he kind of has a debate with him, doesn't he?
Yeah, that was going to say.
There's some negotiating, bargaining.
Yeah.
I don't know if I could do that.
I've got to admit, that's good for a guy who can't talk very good, isn't it?
Yeah. Public speaking is my problem. But talking to the Almighty, I'm okay with that. Of course, he was doing it on behalf of his people, and I think that was also...
Might have had a bearing, sure.
I think it pleased God in that regard, but it... that is the one time, where, no, God, you don't want to do that. It would make you look weak, No.
Instructing God.
Yeah. Your plan. I can improve on your plan just a little bit.
Yeah.
I'm going to, when I get there, I hope I meet him and talk with Moses. He's just a real good character.
Well, right. I came into that. We kind of have said that as we get closer and we get to heaven, the fullness of God will come upon us, or an increase will, and I think some of these things will become revealed to us. So
yeah.
I don't know, but at least I'm hoping he will clear up some of the questions and we go from totally on faith to like, it's good.
So much more glory.
Yeah, it's all, yeah.
I do like the idea of getting to know personally, getting to know Moses, though.
Moses.
Now, that would probably be one of the kind of minor glories of heaven, but it might be one that is in store for us. And I for one, kind of look forward to that.
Few of the people in the Bible that would be, Daniel and the lions, David and the faith.
David, I would like to know, I'd like to personally know David. That would be good.
I would kind of like to get to know Peter. Because I'll tell you, there's a man who zealously had a heart for God, regardless, just the bull in the china shop. And God would have to go, no. Give me that ear. Stop that. If you say it's
not. And then he denied it three times, too.
Yeah, right. Well, that's what I mean. He is the, I think in Peter, the full swing of the natural man. Your entity is on full display. I mean, Peter sees Jesus walking in the water and says, "Well, let me come out and meet you." And Jesus says, "No problem." Peter, in faith, starts walking on the water, and then all of a sudden, his natural mind goes, "Hey,
what?
I can't do this." And then he starts to think.
He turned his face away from God or Jesus for a second, or turned away.
Yeah,
that's a very good point. Very good point. It's like,
but I had thought, hey, the man got out of the boat, which is more than the other disciples did.
Well, and kind of going back to your comment earlier, Glenn, I agree with it wholeheartedly about, I have this little thought about God will do anything, and you have to have faith in God, but. Who makes the first step? Do you have to take a step towards God in faith and he will meet you? Or do you just wait for God to come grab you and pull you along? And, if he's pulling you along, then just how much free will is involved in that? But if you step out in faith, like Peter did in that situation, God answers and honors that.
Yep.
And I think I can think of 100 times where I started out to do something and then it didn't go as easy as I wanted, or something became hard and my faith became weak, and then I ended up in trouble where I was working, and all of a sudden I stopped working on a faith plane and started reverting back to the natural, I can do this, I'm going to power through this, but it's not It's not because God loves me, and, you know, it's more like, I can dig a ditch. I can dig a ditch. He could have dug the ditch, and he said he would, but he didn't do it quite right or fast enough for me, so I'm going to do it now, you know. Kind of like, Lord, do this, and then you take it back.
I wonder what God thinks about the written out picture.
Yeah.
Hold that kid. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Like, that's written out.
I think so. Yeah,
there's so many things in this world. You just wonder.
Well, you know, sometimes you can get by with and beat man's law, mm-hmm. but you ain't never going to beat God's law.
That's right.
You know?
Mm-hmm.
That's right. Yeah.
There, I'm sure, right, are people who have been falsely accused and penalized for it. And then there are people who should have been accused and weren't, mm-hmm. in both ways. On one hand, you know, he sees everything,
yeah.
and you got to wonder, is that really, or maybe his hand was in it,
yeah.
with the jury?
Yeah.
Or maybe it was where he said, you know, he lets us make mistakes too, so yeah. you kind of depending on where you are in the natural, you might feel whether that was God was in it or God let him make a mistake. You know, I mean, it's just too polarizing. Everything's too polarizing these days, except the Lord, which is where I'm really hanging it. I'm just putting it all on God, going, you're in charge. I'm just doing my best to follow the path he's laid before me.
I smell the enemy myself, but
in the case?
In the whole situation.
Oh,
every,
oh.
You know, both sides. Both. Whole deal.
Yes. Which, you know, that would be the way he would do it, right?
Sure.
I mean, he makes it to the point where you go, there's no way out of this. You need the miracle. You, it is so messed up that the natural man is not going to be able to sit down and figure it out. It's just, it gets to the point where only God can do this, and that's when God does something.
I, for one, am okay with it.
Maybe he's going to get saved out of it, though.
Well, there's, and that, with that specific thing, but just in bigger levels. You know.
I am so happy that the eggs in my basket are not the basket of the world.
Yeah.
They're the basket, you know, it's heaven's basket. It's not the world's basket. Oh, imagine having this world be, you know, the whole deal, the whole, everything that's important. Aye, aye, aye.
Sometimes things have to get very drastic in order to turn around. I know in my own life there's been times when I was at rock bottom and God lifted me up.
Are you going to say something? Was that a throat clear because you had something stuck in your throat, or was that a throat clear because you had
There's a scripture in Isaiah 66:2 where God says, "But to this man will I look, even to him that is poor and of a contrite spirit and trembles at my word." And that's kind of a little bit different than a normal Christian experience. People read it and dissect it, and you know, try to second guess God. But I think this the picture is a lot different than that. Anyway, I'll get to that later, but not right now. There's another scripture, and this is kind of off the subject, that's in 1 Corinthians 11:3. And it says, "The head of every man is Christ." It doesn't say that the head of a man is the Pope, or a priest, or a pastor, or anybody. The head of every man is Christ, it says. Mm-hmm. I believe that. Mm-hmm. And I'm not the head of this church. Mm-hmm. And neither is anybody else. I want Christ to be the head of the church. I want to do it his way. And he promised to be in us and help us. Whatever, and it tells us in Mark, it says that the Lord was in the church, and he was confirming the word with signs, and he was the one that was doing it because he was working with them, right in them. Anyway, the Lord is good.
Yeah. Amen.
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 And whatever we don't understand, he'll help us if we ask him.
Mm. Amen.
Are we wrong? But the Bible says long suffering and the Lord is salvation.